in the main lending scheme. So the Bounce Back Loan, which is up to 50 grand, the CBILS, which is the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme, and even the large one, the CLBILS. Across the whole pack, only 650,000 businesses so far have gone for that funding. There are just under 6 million businesses in the UK.
Whoa.
Like a little more than 10% of businesses have applied for these things. And it's interesting, I put out an article on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, and the subject was, I hate the thought of taking on debt. Should I take one of these government-backed loans? And my recommendation was yes, absolutely, even if only to stick it in a bank account and pay it back in 12 months.
Welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast with business strategist, speaker and author, Gavin Preston. Tap into this meeting of minds between everyday business people on their journey to master business growth. Join them as they share strategies, insights and shortcuts to help you survive and thrive in business and life as you scale your business and achieve a bigger impact.
Hi everybody, Gavin here. Welcome back to the Business Mastermind Podcast, episode 113. For many business owners, you have plugged a hole in your cash flow through tapping into some of the grants, furlough schemes, loan packages that are available in the territories in which you operate. Some business owners have thought, great, our cash flow needs are covered until the autumn, at which point we hope that things will be getting back to normal. But of course, many economists are talking about an L-shaped recession, you know, a steep fall and bottoming out for a period of two, three, who knows how long. So I wanted to bring back David Horn from episode number 99, a multiple CFO, helped many businesses to scale through acquisition, raised over 100 million in funding for businesses during his career thus far, to get his view on how he sees what the economic picture might look like going forward and what business owners should be focusing on right now. Before we jump into the conversation with David Horn, if you love the conversations that we're having here on the podcast, not only please do go to iTunes, go to Spotify and like and give the stars, 5 stars, and leave a review because it'll help others find this podcast. But what I'd also like you to do is, if you want to join into the conversation more, is go over to gavin.live where you'll find that I pick some of the topics that I cover on the Business Mastermind podcast and go into it a little bit more detail. That's your opportunity to engage in the conversation, to leave comments and questions, and for us to create more of a two-way conversation around some of these topics. That's gavin.live. Now into my interview with David Horn. Hello and welcome back to the Business Mastermind Podcast. Gavin here, and today I'm welcoming back David Horn. Now, David did a fantastic episode in my Keep Your Boat Afloat series all about the funding packages that are available that you can tap into for your business in the UK sort of territory. That could be like the CBILS or the Business Bounce Back Loan and the other kind of provisions that were available. And I wanted to bring David back onto the Business Mastermind Podcast because I want a conversation that now that some of you as business owners have some financial holes plugged in your business through taking on board government sort of grants or government loan or funding packages, you may think the pressure's off and you may be hoping for a summer or autumnal bounce back in terms of trade and profitability of your business. And David and I were just talking before we press record, and I think we're of a mind that with certainly the people that we're listening to and engaging in conversation with and our own views, that we're not reading the tea leaves in the same way. So I wanted to bring David back onto the podcast to talk about that. So David, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So in you're just by way of a quick reminder, in case somebody listening here now didn't hear your earlier episode, do you want to introduce yourself, please, and a bit about your background?
Sure. So my name's David Horn. I'm the founder of a business called Add Then Multiply. I trained as a chartered accountant with PwC, originally in Canada, moved with PwC to Switzerland, ended up living in Switzerland for 6 years, moved then to the UK in 1993 and have been here ever since. In the year 2000, I had my first exposure to the real world of entrepreneurship. I was the CFO of a European PR agency group that had just expanded out of New York. And we had a brief from New York to build an agency network by acquisition. And we had New York's checkbook. So that was a lot of fun. And over the next 10 years, I got involved with a number of very entrepreneurial businesses, two of which were listed on London's alternative investment market. I've raised over £100 million in debt and equity funding. I've bought or sold a couple of dozen businesses. And since 2010, I've worked exclusively with founders on showing them how to scale up using my methodology, which is called FACE, which stands for Fund, Acquire, Consolidate, and Exit. And last year, I published a book on that very issue. The book is also called Add, Then Multiply, with the subtitle How Small Businesses Can Think Like Big Businesses and Achieve Exponential Growth. And I'm delighted to say that the book went on to be a number one in Amazon and won the best self-development book category at the Business Book Awards in March of this year.
Fantastic. And I'm a personal fan of the book as well. It's great and it read, but it's also one of the things I love about a sign of a good thinker and a good book is when the complex is made straightforward and simple that not only you can follow and remember, but it gives you the confidence that you will have the capability to do it. And I think you deliver on all of that in spades in the book.
Thank you.
So if we step back and look at the sort of the economic journey and the journey for business owners over the last 3 months, if you just wanted to sort of summarize that, and then how do you think the economy across the Western world is, how's it going to pan out, do you think, from your experience and your reading of it going forward?
Crystal ball time.
Yeah.
I would start by saying this, and I think this is going to be a major global recession, and this will be the seventh major global recession that I'll have lived through. The first one was in the early 70s. I was just a kid, but I remember my parents being really freaked out. And then I've obviously lived through all of the other big ones since then. This one is, and I hate it, it's such a hackneyed phrase, but this time it really is different because we're dealing with two issues here. We're dealing with what literally is an existential issue in terms of this virus is killing people. Mm-hmm. So it's although the levels in the grander scheme of things are nothing like they were with the Spanish influenza 100 years ago, I think they just as easily could have been if governments hadn't taken action to lock things down. But this is, this is an existential thing that is causing people to change the way they think. And, both of my daughters are teachers and, they're theoretically going back to school now with kids coming back to school. And a lot of them are sort of saying, a lot of the parents of my children don't want to send their kids back to school because they're nervous. So there's this huge, huge uncertainty. And the other thing is, there's nothing actually wrong with the economy except that it just stopped.
Yes. Yeah.
But we don't really have a benchmark to go on where we can say, such and such happened in this sector. And, you take the last recession with the bankers getting greedy and the financial crash and all of that. And then we kind of knew the route out of all of that. It's going to be really interesting. I think a lot of businesses are doing their best to adapt to moving things online. I think for a lot of companies, the whole dynamic of how work happens is going to change because lots of people are going to decide, actually, I quite like working from home. And there have been lots of, joke things out there and all of that and bits and pieces. But who wants to get onto a crowd? I mean, I live in London, so it's a London perspective, but who wants to get onto a crowded tube train and, have your face in somebody's armpit for half an hour, twice a day.
Yeah.
With COVID-19, that's just not going to be possible.
Yeah.
I've got a client over in Switzerland. They really want me to go. And I'm saying to them, we're still getting more than 2,000 cases of this thing a day. Mm-hmm. in the UK. I mean, in Switzerland, the last stats I saw, they were getting less than 20.
Whoa, right.
It's unbelievable. I mean, who knows what'll happen because they're doing a lot of lockdown releases now. But I've just said to them, look, you know, in theory, yes, I can come, but I don't feel it's the responsible thing to do. Because, I mean, I'm fine, but what if I'm an asymptomatic carrier?
Sure. And also then you've got to sort of quarantine when you come back into the UK, don't you, for 2 weeks?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, there's just so many things that are up in the air right now. But I guess in terms of what I would be advising and what I do advise to my clients, first and foremost is keep in touch with whoever your customers are. You know, pick up the phone and talk to them. Have conversations with them. Check in with them. How are they doing? You know, and just kind of keep that dialogue going. And you know, who knows? I mean, maybe someone in their family, sadly, will have passed away. You know, but keep that human connection going.
Yeah.
And the other one, and I think, Gavin, we spoke about it on the last talk, was keep in touch with your supply chain as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love the example of a restaurant. And, sure. You know, all of a sudden a restaurant at some point is going to be allowed to reopen. But if they haven't been keeping in touch with their supply chain, how are they going to get their ingredients? How are they going to get their basic foodstuffs to be able to serve their guests?
And they may have to start to source locally now.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we're in for a huge, huge change on a scale that we don't really understand yet. And you know, whilst it's frustrating to sit here and watch the news and see the statistics coming out from the governments on how many deaths there are and how many new cases there are, we just don't understand this thing yet.
No.
And I think in all honesty, we don't understand what the impact is going to be on business. And therefore, my view to people is just go back to basics. Look after your customers. Look after your supply chain. Look after your staff. Keep in touch with them. Move whatever you can move online. You know, I'm involved with a number of businesses, as you know, that used to be very much focused around live events, and they're moving everything online. And you know, that we have the technology to do that. So that's certainly a doable thing. And, you know, I mean, gosh, we're into, I think it's week 11 now of, you know, Zoom calls all the time. And, you know, I mean, there's a bit of Zoom fatigue, but I'd rather have the ability to see someone and talk to them than not.
Completely.
And you know, it's impacting us in all sorts of different ways. I mean, I'm the president of my local Toastmasters club. We've moved all of our club meetings online now. Right. We just had our new committee elections done at our meeting last week. All of that's moving online. It's, you know, it's not as nice as meeting in person, but until such time as we know it's safe to do so, you've got to figure out ways to manage that. And I think it's going to be the same for business. We just need to figure out ways to keep in touch with our customers, keep in touch with our suppliers, and do what we can to keep supplying.
So the suddenness in which there was lockdown across the Western world has been to some degree alleviated by government support packages around furloughing, for example, grants or various loans in different sort of countries and territories. Yeah. The thing that it concerns me is that some business owners now and finance teams will look at their cash flow projections, think, I've now got enough to get me through to the autumn. And then things will start to trade again. We'll start to be seeing money going down onto the bottom line. And we don't have to start to make repayments on those loans until 12 months hence, certainly in the UK at least. Correct. So we've got this window of opportunity. What concerns me is that what if there is another, you know, there's maybe as lockdowns are released a second wave now, when the weather changes in October, there could well, and indeed NHS planning has been that there will be a third wave in October. The Chancellor in the UK has already indicated that there's not going to be an extension to furlough beyond October. What I think business owners now need to be thinking about is, what if there is no more government support packages in the autumn, and there is no more loans or funding packages available, and trade is still significantly depressed?
Yeah.
I'd love you to sort of talk about your thoughts about that, and whether you think that actually is a reasonable planning scenario that people have to think through.
I think it's a scenario that people should not lose sight of. Equally, I think it's a scenario that people should not overly worry about.
Okay.
We, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, we should say, here's a good scenario, here's a bad scenario, and let's think about both of them. But it's kind of like, I think it was Franklin D. Roosevelt who said, there's the only thing to fear is fear itself.
Mm.
And, I know people, I've got people in my extended family who are dealing with major anxiety issues because they don't know what's going on and they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do and nobody does. And, oh my God, it's all overpowering and I can't handle it. And I don't mean that in a way that's in any way disrespectful or denigrating to them. Some people just struggle with those kinds of things. But I think, you know, most of your audience, I believe, are either accountants or business owners. And I think as those people, it's really important for us to try and keep a positive outlook and to try and, to try and focus on what we can do as opposed to getting into sort of a spiral of helplessness or anything like that. And so I think it's sensible to have multiple scenarios. And I've certainly over the last month, I've probably helped half a dozen businesses secure in excess of £1 million in different loan facilities. I'm advising all of them, don't just go out and spend it all right now.
Yeah.
By all means, spend some if you know what you're spending it on. So for instance, the business that I was referring to earlier that was very much events-based is now going online, and we've allocated a big chunk of the money that we secured there to build out their online service delivery capabilities and their whole learning management system and all of that. But equally, we're saying, well, let's not chuck it all at that. Let's just look at what we can do to keep a little something in the reserve tank, as it were. Because I think it's prudent, and the all of the accountants that are listening to this will completely get the whole prudence thing.
Of course.
Some of the entrepreneurs might not, and I think this is one of those times where the entrepreneurs need to listen to the accountants and be a little bit prudent. Don't hunker down. Don't go into a spiral of anything negative. But definitely, if you've let's say for argument's sake that you've raised £250,000 on your civils facility and you've earmarked £100,000 on what you want to do to make some investments to transform your business, that's great. Keep the other £150,000 tucked away just in case there's a rainy day. And if at the end you don't need it, well, you can invest in, or things are going well, you can invest that money in more business development, or you can pay it back.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of those products, particularly in the UK, where there's no interest for the first 12 months. And so if you've got cash that you don't need, you just pay it back.
Hi, Gavin here. If, after lockdown, you are somewhat excited, if not a little daunted, about how to reboot your business, then get in touch, because I can help you do that. Get clear, refocus your strategy to ensure that's appropriate for the coming months and years ahead, and also revitalize your teams, getting them re-engaged and working together, pulling together in the same direction. So drop me a line, gavin@gavinpreston.com, so that we can explore how I can help you get your business back on track. What do you think business owners need to be thinking about in terms of in that scenario planning? There's some economists are talking about an L-shaped recession, so a sort of steep fall, and then at the bottom it being a long plateau for two or three or more years into the future.
Yeah.
Do you think that economic sort of possibility prediction again is one of those scenarios that business owners should be sort of contemplating?
I hope it isn't an L-shaped one, but it could very well be, particularly, again, coming back to that whole existential thing. If people are just not, doing stuff, I mean, like, you know, it's, as I said, it's been, we're into our 11th week now. I mean, I'm normally out and about on a regular basis. I normally travel abroad on a regular basis.
Yep.
For 11 weeks, I haven't been more than a mile from my home.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, thank God the weather's been nice.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm starting to think a lot more local. And, you know, whenever I see anything local popping up, I'm thinking, okay, well, I want to support that because it's local. And I never used to have that mindset, but I think this has caused me to just kind of think about that a little bit more and support that local business. And, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, we get our shop from the online groceries delivered and stuff, but you know, anytime we're short on anything, I just like to pop down to the high street to the local independent and, you know, help them out, support them. So yeah, I think it's a really difficult one. I think you need to be focusing on, you know, who are your customers, and if your customers don't come back to the level, who could be your customers, and how do you reach them? How do you market yourself to them? I mean, I was talking to the owner of a skin clinic recently, they've got a number of different sites, and of course they've had to shut down completely.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, even when lockdown lifts, that's the kind of thing where you're in very close physical contact with someone. And, you know, they don't know how it's going to be as things come back. But, you know, we've been looking at different projections and things. And, you know, here's what our projections were. And, well, you know, what if it was only half of that? And, you know, what if these things didn't happen? And what if those things didn't happen? And, I think we just... We all just need to be cautious, and we all just need to manage things closely. And again, this, you know, the accountants on here will love this, but for the entrepreneurs, keep your eyes on your cash, keep your eyes on your numbers, make sure you're getting the right numbers from whoever's producing your numbers for you, because right now, in the very short term, you know, if you're not looking at your numbers on a regular basis, all of a sudden you could very quickly find yourself a month down the line with, you know, no income and all of your costs through, and all of a sudden 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 grand in losses have sprung up, and what you thought you had in the reserve tank is all of a sudden now used up.
Yeah. Now, I know that some business owners have been very, very quickly to adapt the switch to online revenue streams, or certainly switch the emphasis and getting a greater proportion of their revenues from online. But I also know there's another population of business owners that have thought initially on lockdown, okay, things are going to press pause for 6 weeks, for example, and it'll be back to business as usual. And yeah, you shake your head, I think absolutely appropriately, is that for those people that haven't taken any action in terms of changing their business model on the assumption that things would resume to where they were, what would you be saying to those businesses now?
Tread very carefully. You know, I mean, some businesses move themselves more easily to going online than others. So again, that, you know, that skin clinic that I was talking about, well, that has to continue to be an in-person type of thing. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, for the owner of that business, you've got to make sure you've got the right PPE for your staff. You've got to make sure you've got the right PPE for your customers. You know, PPE, gosh, as an accountant, PPE is property, plant, and equipment, not personal protective equipment. You know, new terminology that comes to the fore, and you know, how do you run a clinic with social distancing, and how do you do all of those things? And it's been really interesting. One of the local businesses that I supported, my wife and I were out for a walk, and we decided to go to an area in Ealing that we don't often go, and we happened to walk past this little Japanese restaurant that was doing a COVID-19 special deal on sushi, and we love sushi, so we thought, well, we'll go in and we'll try some, and it was great. Like, you were only allowed to have two people in the shop at the time, and there were queues outside, and they had marked on the pavements the distances, and then as soon as you came into the shop, you had to wash your hands with a hand sanitizer, because obviously they don't want any infection in their shop, and then just, you know, the whole cycle and process, and yeah, it's just, yeah, I, I don't think many businesses are going to be untouched by this. You know, possibly, I mean, the food companies, the delivery companies, businesses like Amazon are absolutely thriving and booming.
Absolutely.
But I think for most other businesses, you're going to be affected in one way, shape or another.
Yeah, if you take the events industry, there's just I've got a client in that space, and in there, and they speak into obviously their supply chain and get a greater reach into what's happening in the events industry, and it's nothing, absolutely zero. And that's probably will be the case for the whole of 2020. So that's significant for a lot of businesses.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I mean, my sister was due to be flying out to Canada. We were going to be going to see a concert on Friday night. Next week, I was supposed to be going to the Isle of Wight Festival.
Yeah. So, complete stop to those. So if your sector is being, and it looks to be, whether it be travel, whether it be events, businesses, to just take two examples, looks to be affected for the longer term, surely you should now be thinking about what else could you apply the skills, services, and capability in your business to, and who might, well, you know, what is it that the marketplace is looking for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a really challenging one. Cause again, it almost comes back to that whole existential thing in a different way, but because of the nature of the business, you know, if you're in the travel industry, it's no one really knows what's going to happen. And, you know, what can you do? Can you look at things? I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of throwing ideas out there, but you know, can you pivot into kind of virtual reality and offer people the opportunity of, you know, well, you can't travel abroad, but you know, here's a headset and you can wear these things and pretend you're there for a while.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a route that a travel type business could go down.
I think the other thing that fascinates me is that just to build on your easy for me to say existential. There we go. Thing is that different people's own risk profile or attitude to risk. So there are, and I read and hear that it's quite an emotive debate about parents about whether they send their children back to school.
Yeah.
So we're still pretty much in lockdown in Wales. So, and I think it's highly unlikely schools will be opened until September in Wales. And for us, we would like the schools to be open today. They would have gone back today. But we speak, on Zoom or whatever, on the phone to, other parents of my son's peer group, and they say no, we don't feel comfortable about our son or daughter going back to school. And so but again, this polarization with a good degree of emotion driven by fear that sits behind it, I think is of course going to affect consumer behavior
very much so. And yeah, I mean, spending levels across the board are just way down. I mean, I think people might well be spending more on food and drink.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to the cinema. Nobody's going out to the pub at the weekend. Nobody's going out to the sports. It's fascinating. And again, in the context of, you know, if you've just got an everyday listener on this, I would say, you know, preserve your cash flow to whatever degree you can. You know, if you're on furlough and so you're on a reduced pay, you know, you'll have to adjust and adapt. But you know, hopefully you can see that some of your discretionary expenditures have gone down. I mean, I'm thinking about one of my clients where they've got about 10 people on furlough, and I'd say the average age of that team is early mid-20s. And so, you know, these are young people who are out clubbing every weekend and all of that. And, you know, whilst they might have been shocked to be on only 80% of their normal pay, you know, they're not going out and spending 50 or 100 quid a weekend doing their clubbing and those kinds of things. They're not going out for meals. They're not going out, you know, they're not having to pay for tube and train fares to come into town and all that kind of stuff. They're probably not, you know, if they've got a car, they're probably not driving it much. I mean, in the 11 weeks since we've been in lockdown, I think we've taken our car out twice.
Yeah, I think I filled up the tank just before lockdown. And it's still three quarters full, you know. It's never had so many. so many weeks to the gallon. But back to that point about if you're an employee and you're on furlough, yes, you may, your net sort of expenses may not be, the income versus expenses, you might not be that much worse off. I think the other thing to bear in mind of is if you can still save now, you should do, because your employer may not well be in business at the end of the furlough.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
And I know there's, again, lots of debates that can run on social media around, well, we want to stay at home because we feel safe, we're on furlough, we're okay, the sun is shining. And my view is, don't get complacent with that, because there's furlough provision for an employer does not solve the problems of all the cash going out the door for that business.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Absolutely not. And you know, I think all of these schemes have been incredibly helpful. But you know, I remember reading one of the big headlines that came up just after the furlough scheme was announced, and you know, coming back to the discussion about the travel industry, I remember the headline: British Airways put 38,000 people on furlough.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
And when you think about the size and scale of that, when the furlough scheme starts to reduce, as it's going to in the UK, and then comes to an end, if there isn't a significant resurgence of the airline travel, which is highly unlikely,
yeah,
no business will be able to fund paying those salaries.
No. Well, I mean, assuming everybody at BA is up to the cap level, so they're getting the 2,500. That's monthly £95 million.
Whoa.
Going to the furlough scheme. So, you know, I think what the Chancellor has done has been positively heroic. I know there are a few groups of people that have missed out, that kind of fell between the cracks, and
directors of companies.
And they have my sympathies. But you know, when you look at the speed with which the government has really turned on the taps and the degree to which they've been turned on, I think Rishi Sunak has been, in my mind, the superstar of the UK government.
Yeah. Future PM, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he doesn't have Dominic Cummings with him.
That's another debate. That's another debate. But no, he's absolutely demonstrated a real strong financial grasp of the economy and made the right calls, and also, you know, stood up with a real sense, a presence, and strong leadership as well, which I think has really stood out.
But one of the really interesting things, Gavin, and I'm just going online to double check and make sure I've got the right stats here. So far in the main lending scheme, so the bounce back loan, which is up to 50 grand, the CBILS, which is the coronavirus business interruption loan scheme, and even the large one, the CLBILS, across the whole pack, only 650,000 businesses so far have gone for that funding.
Wow.
Now there are just under 6 million businesses in the UK.
Whoa.
Some of them are, you know, many of them are micro businesses.
But it staggers me that percentage is so low.
Yeah, I know. That's like a little more than 10% of businesses have applied for these things. And it's interesting, I put out an article on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, and the subject was, I hate the thought of taking on debt. Should I take one of these government-backed loans? And my recommendation was yes, absolutely. Even if only to stick it in a bank account and pay it back in 12 months, but get your hands on the cash.
And you know, that was a brilliant article. And I think one of the points that we touched on in our last conversation on the podcast was about the availability and funding in October, even in January next year. There may be you may be seeing a real tightening of some of that credit.
That whole issue of funding. You know, once the taps of the furlough scheme are turned off, and you know, again, and I know British Airways is perhaps a slightly extreme example, but you know, at £95 million a month, and that's on the 2.5 grand cap, where I bet a lot of people on BA are on a lot more than that. All of a sudden, you're having to meet all of your payroll bills, and if you've not got the revenue coming in, your cash flow is going to run out very, very quickly indeed. So yeah, again, that's the gist of my recommendation to people is take the money. If you're not sure about what to do with it, stick it in a bank account and have it, and, you know, have it with the, if nothing else, have it with the intention to repay it in a year. Yeah. But if there is a third wave in October, and if you're in one of those sectors where, you know, like travel or hospitality, where you're going to be shut down again, that's going to be the way that sees you through.
Yeah, exactly. Have you got any awareness about when these schemes, like the Business Bounce Back Loan and the CBILS, will be closed for new business, for new applications?
I think the CBILS one runs until October, and the Bounce Back Loan scheme, I believe, runs until the beginning of November, because it came out a little later. And it was the, I think it runs, and I'm pretty sure it came out, it went live on Monday, the 4th of May, and it runs until the 4th of November. That's a date that I've got in my head.
Okay, cool.
And that's
so I think your message there, then, given the fact that they are open to October and November respectively, if you haven't already sought to tap into that funding, then you should do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To your, you know, kind of a final point then, back to your Roosevelt quote about nothing to fear other than fear itself. What advice would you give to business owners, to senior leadership teams that are now fearful, given the prospect of this going on longer than they may initially have thought?
Keep the dialogue going.
Yeah.
Talk with each other. Talk with your teams. Again, talk with your teams. Talk with your customers. Talk with your staff. Talk with your supply chain. Because this is a human existential issue, you're not going to be alone. And simply sharing and connecting with other human beings will help to strengthen things and will help to get you, you know, through the bad days. And you know, everybody has good days and bad days. And if you've got people around you that you can reach out to when you're having a bad day and they can G you up a bit, then that's a good thing. I think just keep the dialogue going. Keep an open mind and you know, just keep thinking, well, what can we do differently?
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing for sure, not just business, but life is going to be different.
Yeah, for sure.
Once we come out the other side of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. David, thank you so much. If somebody wants to tap into more of your insights, your articles, your wisdom, and how you help businesses through periods of time like this, how do they do so?
So my website is addthenmultiply.com and my LinkedIn is David B. Horn, and they can find all of my contact details on both of those.
That's great. David, thank you so much for your time again today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Gavin.
Hi, Gavin here. I hope you enjoyed the conversation I just had with David Horn. Three key things that jumped out for me: keep in touch, both with your customers and suppliers. Ensure you have cash reserves because you're going to need it for the long term, certainly over the next 12 months. And if you haven't already taken advantage of the government-backed loans, then do so. And then finally, look where you can generate new revenue streams, whether that be online or with new market opportunities that have arisen. So keep in touch, ensure you've got the cash reserves, and look where you can generate new revenue streams. Now, if you want help rebooting, refocusing, and revitalizing your business, then do get in touch. Gavin@gavinpreston.com, and I will look forward to exploring how I can help you get back on track.
You've been listening to the Business Mastermind podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review so that more people like you can get their business back on their own terms, enjoy more success, and create more impact.